Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with me, Alan Clark.
And myself, Byron Patel, who's also the host of the Atom Ventures Podcast.
Today, in today's podcast, we're going to look at the subject of should you start a business? Because obviously that's the starting point on every journey into entrepreneurship. And Byron, let's kick off. Why did you start your business?
Well, interesting. So I was working for a company in Thailand, and it was, I'd just come off the back of a couple of startups. So I guess, let me start with the fact that, I've been working at PwC, IBM, big corporate life. And then I worked for what I can only describe as a bit of a hybrid startup. So it was a growing company in Norway that had been established for a few years. And by the time I got there, you know, it needed big change and a new way of thinking. And so essentially we kind of reinvented that business and it became a kind of a startup again, even though it had been going for a while. So the whole thing, the whole ethos was changed. And then from that, I went to a startup where I was like the third person there and we grew globally. And you kind of got the bug, because I think for me, the startup bug at least. So the difference between obviously working corporate life and working in a startup is that there's much more of a green field when you're looking at startups, right? You're able to be more creative. You're not necessarily working within rigid structures. You don't have the hierarchies. You don't have the reporting mechanisms that you would have with more established businesses. But that's a far cry from wanting to start your own business, right? Because joining someone else's business is very different from starting your own business, right? But for me, when I came out of the job in Thailand, it was pretty intense, even though I wasn't there for a huge amounts of time. It felt like I was there for about 10 times longer than I actually was. And when I came out of it, it was a situation where I thought, okay, what do I want to do? And I got to say, I was in the middle of burnout back then, because, you know, coming from three businesses that were massively, rapidly growing, working, you know, implementing brand new IT systems for all of those things and global businesses, it was, you know, many, many years of 7 days a week, 13, 14 hours a day. And so for me, it was, do I go back into corporate life, having known what that was like many years ago, and then, or do I go find a startup, or do I do something myself? And after talking to people back in the UK and looking at what was around, and even having a chat with a couple of friends of mine, I quickly realized I could not fit into a box again. Like, I couldn't be put into a box where someone says, right, you have this mandate, you need to go and do this and then report into that. You don't get the same freedom. Finding another startup was interesting, but I'd just come from two other businesses that started up. And the problem is that you've got someone else steering the ship, right? And if you don't agree with that person or the way they take the business, there's not much you can do. And then I guess the third bit here was I was a little bit lucky in that a bit of serendipity meant that the number of people that I've been working with over the years previously were all free. And we were all together and we were all kind of sitting there going, well, we are all now at a point in time where we're all free. We're all, you know, have technology experience, startup experience. Why don't we start something together? And then that's where Atom Ventures started. And then from that, Atom CTO and obviously Avroom.
It's interesting that here we are with another where you're yin to my yang are about opposite ends of the spectrum. You were coming out of large, well, your history, your career has been in large corporate organizations with a very rigid structure and lots of people. My story was almost the absolute opposite. I'd never worked in a large corporate environment in my life and only ever worked in relatively small companies. And even when I worked in a business, or twice worked for businesses that were owned by corporates, the area that I worked in was very much an autonomous business unit that operated on its own. I just reported back to head office, and that wasn't my role, that was the role of the FD and the CEO. Frankly, as long as they sent back their monthly stipend to head office, they were largely allowed to get on with it. So when you were looking to break away from all of that structure and the lack of freedom, I had always lived in a world where I could walk up the door and go straight, and even at when I started working at my junior level, knock on the door of the big boss and have a conversation any day, you know, with a small business. And there was always a really, every business I'd worked for was a very loose structure built around getting the job done. And you were able just to get stuff got done. My motivation was really, I guess there were two things to it. One was a lunch event, you know, which anybody that's followed the podcast will know about, having an illness, and then that being a bit of an inflection point to go and do something. But the other driving part behind it was I had always, ever since I started even thinking about a career, thought that the honourable thing to do was to create a business, was to start with nothing and build something. And that had never happened. It almost happened when I'd been in relatively small businesses, but I never felt ownership of what had been built because I joined a something. And that's why when the moment came and the opportunity arose to actually start with literally a blank sheet of paper and an idea, I remember thinking, this could go horribly wrong in so many ways, but I bet I never regret doing it, because I will regret a whole lot more lying in my deathbed saying, I never did that one thing that I always wanted to do.
So this is interesting. So one of the reasons, obviously, that we're doing this podcast is you and I had a conversation about this thing called Masterclass, where this is online thing that you can go and pay for and get advice from the great sages of the world, right? And so there was one of the classes I was listening to about business, and they were talking about like, should you start a business? And one of the issues I had with that was that it was just a full of platitudes. It was go for it, do X, you know, don't have any regrets, etc. And I kind of thought, well, that's not really advice. And so when you say you didn't want to live with regrets, I kind of think, well, yes, fine, but that's not a reason to start a business, right? Just because you don't want to have a regret isn't necessarily a reason, I don't think, to start a business, because there's lots of other considerations.
Hold on a minute.
But there's lots of other considerations.
Is it all right then to live your life saying, I've regretted a whole load of things I never did?
No, I mean, I don't. Personally, my own kind of personal mantra is that, you know, you have no regrets. But what I'm trying to say is the fact that you might regret doing it doesn't mean that you necessarily should do it. Sorry, you might regret not having done it. Doesn't mean you should do it. Do you see what I mean? It's like you shouldn't say, I really want to start a business and I'll regret not having done it. The thought of it. So I guess I'm trying to say is, yes, you may regret not having done it, but have you thought it through first?
And okay, I guess that's. I suppose the bit that I would then add on to that, because I understand what you're saying about just because you might regret it doesn't mean you should do it. I would also guess that at that point, I was 20-something years into a career or into my working life, and I'd thought about it many times, but the time wasn't right. You know, things hadn't aligned. But here I was now at a point where actually the reasons for not doing it were minimal, and the reasons for doing it were overwhelming, and really important of all, absolutely. And before this podcast, I had a little look around the internet on, you know, advice on should people start a business. And there was a great article I read that really, now all these pros of starting a business that were platitudes, and all the cons that were platitudes. And then it finished with one sentence. And it said, before you start a business, make sure you have what every successful business needs, a good idea and a market. And maybe that was the moment that I decided to do it, because I thought the idea was actually really good. I'd been quite a cautious person. I had already worked in this area, and I had lived the opportunity, and I had also lived the market. And that was the moment where I guess for me it was, you know, this is the one to do.
All right. So this is where I want to get into us being able to give real practical advice, right? So you said that everything was in alignment when you started it, and that was the idea in the market. So those are two things. But what else was there? Because if I give you my example, obviously I had had the experience of scaling businesses, working in different parts of the world. my team was there. I had some cash in the bank. You know, I had very low costs because I could come back, you know, pay for the house. There was no mortgage or anything like that to worry about. So it kind of all aligned because of the fact that, well, I've got the money. I don't have many outgoings. I can minimize those. I've got the team and getting the customers. I knew that there were a couple of leads already before we've even started. So it was kind of, I'm not going to say it was a no-brainer, but it was one of those things, well, it's an opportunity. Let's see where it goes. And So for you, what aligned? Because I think this is the key, right? When people are listening to this and, you know, they may listen to other people that say, go follow your dreams or go, you know, don't sit there with the regrets. I think that's all a bunch of bollocks. Like, yes, it's all nice to think like that, but actually you need to be more practical because this is not an easy journey to go on. And I think people go into it going, yeah, it's going to be fun and fluffy. Yes, hopefully it is, but there's a lot of practical things that you need to understand. So like for you, what was an alignment? Because a lot of these stories, when you talk about them retrospectively, they you always look back at them in a sunny way, right? But at that point in time when you were starting, there were a lot of different things going on in your life, lots of different things happening, and then all those things aligned to give you that.
Well, there was, and yeah, we'll be very specific about it. I guess it was, one, financially being in a position where I was able to look at the next 2 years and say, if I don't earn a penny, the mortgage will be paid, the family will be fed, the house will be maintained, we can live for 2 years. So I've got a 2-year window before I really need to worry about putting money on the table. So that made that relatively straightforward. That removed a huge level of stress out of my life. The other one was, I knew that what I was doing, I did not want to carry on doing. And I knew that I had 20 more years ahead of me. And had I only had a year or two still to go, it might have been different, but it wasn't. But I also knew that in terms of my core skills, I was probably better placed at that point than I had ever been before to lever my skills into making a success out of the business that we were aiming to create.
So this is great, because now this is actual tangible stuff. So you had the cash, you had the motivation, you had the idea, you had the market, and you had the skills, right? And I think this is what I find is missing in a lot of advice that people are giving. They're not giving this advice. They're not saying, do you have the cash? Do you have the motivation, the skill? I think the other thing, which is something you and I have discussed a fair bit, and I think we talked about it on the last podcast, was the plan B aspect. So do you want to kind of talk a little bit about that, your story about a plan B?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's incredibly hard. And well, just before I do that, I think you've just identified some of the key building blocks, which is why so many businesses are set up by people who are much younger than I am, who are at the start of their journey, because they haven't got any money, so they're going to have to raise it. They have got very little to lose, so there's not much jeopardy. They've learned technical skills that they can lever that are state of the art, that have a value out of there. So that's why at that level, I absolutely think that's a great time, if your personality is right, to drag on and do your own thing. It was never the right fit for me at that point. So anyway, back on the plan B thing, this is all about commitment. And if you're not willing to fully commit, do not try and start a business without being committed to really give it everything. Because if it's going to be worthwhile, it will take up every part of your life. And that doesn't mean you can't start by running it in parallel, but it's on top of your job. You know, there's an awful lot to do. And what really got me through was I went for it 100% and very actively didn't pursue anything else while this was still in play. And believe me, there was at times months where not much happened. We didn't get much momentum. I remember at that time as well, the utter frustration that our progress actually is not dictated by us. It's dictated by other people. And just because it's really important to me right now, to the founding team right now, doesn't mean it's that important to anyone else. And I see this come through time and time and time again, particularly in the really early stages of a business, when you're continually waiting on investors to make decisions, potential customers have expressed interest but haven't placed an order, partners who you need to give you an answer to allow you to move forward. And the whole issue about the don't have a plan B was, it would have been so easy to have given up and jumped into plan B, to have gone and taken that job over, or have gone back the way you were before, and not having that kept absolute focus. And it's about being all in the game. If you're really going to do it, it's an absolute commitment.
So that word commitment, right? So again, going back into us giving practical advice to people who haven't even, you know, who are thinking about it, but have never really kind of done much research or don't really understand what, you know, what's involved in running a business. What are they committing to? Now, that's one, again, a thing that the reality, this is the whole real world entrepreneurship podcast, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about what it actually means in the real world. Now, I can tell you a little bit about my journey, right? So, and it's actually a little bit different from when you were dealing with startups that I was a part of rather than starting my own business, right? So where things slightly become different are, A, it's your own money. So you're looking at it. So you're looking at every penny is yours, but then that sometimes is a wrong way of thinking about it, right? So you're worried about the cash bit. Then you're doing 100 different things. So the thing that you're good at, that you like doing, so let's say my CTO skills, I'm doing that only a small percentage of the time as compared to all the other things that I need to do, which is sales, marketing, finance, all managing the teams that are working for me, right? And then you've got the hours. I mean, of course, people talk about working a lot of hours, but to be honest, I mean, I was working probably longer hours in projects for people at IBM and some of the startups than I'm working now. But it's more intense because it stays with you every day. It's not something that you you go to sleep, you wake up, you've still got the business, right? It's still around you. Whereas if you're working for someone else, you can say, well, hang on, I'm not going to work this weekend, or I'm taking the holiday. There are no real holidays anymore.
Yeah.
Because, and people say, oh, you should switch off. So how do you switch off from something that is you? It's your culture, your business. So I think this is the thing that when people are saying, okay, when you say commitment, from your perspective, what are they committing to?
I'm not really sure how to answer that, other than you are making a wholehearted commitment to doing everything that is required to make your enterprise successful. And you probably, unless you've done it more than once before, you don't know half of what you're actually committing to. You'll only learn it as you go through that journey. But if you think what you understand at the beginning is all you can manage, you're not ready to start a business. If you've gotten to a point where you're willing and able to say, look, I know some stuff, but there is so much more I'm going to have to do, and there won't be somebody to delegate it to, then you're maybe ready to do it. I think this reflects back on a sort of issue around the totality of committing into starting a business, where it really is heart and soul and everything that's required to make it work.
I think so what's interesting, I've been taking notes while you're talking, right? I think, as you say, it's hard to define what you're committing to, because I think it's actually, that is what you're committing to. You're committing to the unknown, right? The big thing that you're committing to is something that, you know, you, as you said before, you cannot control or predict, because no matter how well you think you know the market, no matter how well you think your idea is going to be received, actually, once it's out there, you know, the public will decide, right? The whether it's the businesses or the customer, the consumers, they'll decide, and they'll move at their own pace. Even though you might want to flood lots of marketing, et cetera, they still may not want to buy at the speed that you want them to buy. So there's that uncertainty that you're committing to as well. But also from a personal level, right? You're committing to self-doubt. You may be the most confident human being on the planet in your own job, but you're going to start committing to self-doubt, because if things don't go your way, what are you going to do?
My little anecdote about that, the chap who we jointly really created Team Rock, I remember sitting in the airport at Luton on our way back up from having signed the deal to buy the magazine portfolio for 10 point whatever it was million, and having simultaneously in the same building at the same time signed our investment agreement to fund that, and sitting in the airport having done that and reflecting on the journey, I shared a little secret with them, which was that my wife had asked me about 6 or 9 months earlier, when's enough, enough? When did you give up on this ever happening? And I said to her, and I told him for the very first time that day after it happened, I said, I'll give up about 1 minute after Billy gives up. Yeah. And until he gives up first, I won't. And that may have been stupidity or stubbornness or whatever. And that induced an enormous roar of laughter from Billy, who said, I had exactly the same conversation with my wife. If you had said to me, I've had enough 6 months ago, I would have wrapped it then. And that is as much about that plan B as anything else, but also about that. You've just got to have absolute faith and commitment into it. And that leads through to, you know, even just creating your business isn't it. You know, there's a statistic, and I don't know if this is the right one or not. It actually surprised me at this low. And I suspect this statistic also covers a lot of sole trader type businesses. But only 60% of businesses fail in the first 3 years. I actually thought it might be even higher than that. So of all the people that say, I'm going to start a business, a lot more than half, 3 years down the road, have to reflect and say, that didn't work.
So I don't know if you remember back to one of our earlier podcasts, we went through some of the statistics like this. And actually what we found was that smaller businesses tend to survive, whereas the larger ones fail quickly.
Yeah.
So the smaller businesses tend to survive a bit longer. But just going to that, you touched on a point which I think is very, very interesting, because obviously you had your partner Billy, and you work with a number of small businesses in Scotland at the moment. So from your experience and what you can see in front of you, if you're thinking of starting a business, how important is it to have an additional partner with you that's on that journey? What is the difference that you see between the solopreneurs and the entrepreneurs that have like one or two people?
Both can work, but the solopreneurs have such a harder time of it because they have only themselves to rely on. When partners are working in a business, when there's more than one person, they have got somebody to drag them up in the good days and arguably pull them down in the manic days as well. So it is so much easier, and if it's all possible, create a business with at least one other person. And that might not necessarily mean that that person is fully in the business as an equal partner in creating the business and running the business. It may be, you know, that role should be a mentor, or, and I don't want to call it a non-exec, because that's awfully grand in a startup, but someone who has put a commitment into the journey with you. They may not be as all invested as you are, but it can be a sounding board, it can be another point of view, it can be a bit of advice or access to another network that you don't have access to.
No, I 100% agree with that. I think a sounding board is great. And I mean, I was quite lucky, and obviously in that I had partners, but I also had people who were more experienced than me in running businesses that I could talk to if there was something going on. And I find that was quite interesting when I get stuff coming through LinkedIn where people say, oh, do you need advisory? And well, look at my connections. I've got people there I can speak to. But, you know, I think what I have found is that having the partners there has been helping. It helps me. You know, if I have a crazy idea, I can put it in front of someone and someone goes, that's crazy or that's genius, right? But also it's that situation where if I feel that I'm lagging because I've been working like crazy for a number of days or weeks, I can just say to someone, look, can you take this bit over? and I need a break. So I'm going to take a day off, or I'm going to take an afternoon off. And then you feel a little less guilty, because that's the problem when you're by yourself, right? Every day you take off, you feel kind of guilty that you're not working. And I think that's the important piece.
Well, this leads into another point that I wanted to raise with you, which is about the reality check of the Hollywood view of what being an entrepreneur is. And the story goes something along the lines of, I've got an idea. I go and meet a venture capitalist. They give me £1 million. I go and hire some brilliant people. And I tell them what to do, kind of, and they do it. And then I go and get 10 million and put £1 million in my own pocket. And then buy a bunch of more people. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my big house in Beverly Hills with loads of money in Ferraris, telling people what to do and count the money coming in. It's not like that.
No, and I can...
Not like that at all.
I mean, you work with communities in Scotland. I work with the communities down in London, places like Richmond, Croydon. These guys, you know, it's a graft every day, right? The money for... It's reprehensible how little money flows to small businesses. To be honest, the biggest investor in my business right now is Rishi, good old Mr. Sunak, right? Because of their bounce back loans. But it's been... It's just criminal how little support small businesses get out there from the larger whales.
Which is part of that mindset or asset set of the individuals who are ready to start a business. You either have to be willing to do it on fresh air and fumes, or, as arguably you and I were, I was by no means wealthy. No, not nothing like it. But in a couple of years when I knew that the money was in the bank, so I didn't have to have the stress of, as I mentioned earlier on, about it doesn't happen at your pace. If I had been saying, I'm going to make a mortgage payment this month, but there's no money coming in, that would have been intolerable. But thankfully, I wasn't in that position. I will tell you a little story and not tell anybody this. But the time that we got to launching Team Rock, and when the best one was, one of the joys there, because we were funded by a London venture capital company, I went from no income to a very healthy salary overnight. But in the month prior to that, I had to look at my kids' savings for a bit of cash flow, because all the money was gone.
Did you smash the piggy bank?
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
And then I put it all back together with glue. And until this moment, they don't know.
Well, I really hope
they don't watch our podcast.
But this, again, is something that I think is good practical advice. Risk, right?
Absolutely.
What risks are you willing to take in order to pursue your idea, the dream that everyone tells you to go jump for? You know, I think if you're not prepared to make the hard decisions in your life. And I think what's interesting here is that there's a... virtual CFO that we work with, Raymond Holt, Agnentus Partners, great guy, and hopefully we'll get him on the program, because I think he's a very important person to talk to when you're looking at financing a business. But, you know, I've done podcasts with him and I've chatted to him quite a bit, and, you know, he always says when he's talking to business owners is, what lifestyle do you want? What are you trying to get out of this, right? So you talked about the Beverly Hills, the Ferraris, X, Y, and Z. If that's what you're going for, then you've got to kind of think, your business plan has got to reflect that, right? But if what you want is a nice, stable life, you know, be able to have a nice house, send your kids to school or whatever it is, then that's essentially your aim, right, and your goals. And then you've got to figure out if you don't achieve those or what stepping stone can you get together.
Well, that reason, pardon me, something Svetlana mentioned a couple of podcasts ago around what is an entrepreneur. Mm. Personally, I choose to have a much broader view on the scope of entrepreneurship. I actually think an entrepreneur is anybody who works for themselves, who goes out and creates a business that will generate their own income. So I actually think it's perfectly reasonable to call, and I don't mean by the pejoratively, but the window cleaner.
Yeah.
Who goes and sets up on his own as an entrepreneur. Because he's going to create an economic model that he is going to use to generate whatever it is he wants from. And this is one of the key things I do when I'm working with companies. I don't start off with what What's your ambition for the business? Start off with what's your ambition for you. Because there's absolutely no point in creating a business that makes you miserable and doesn't give you what you want. That would be a sign of absolute madness. But equally, I have absolute respect for the people that say, I want to go and create this enormous international company. Because that's my ambition. For me, that's when I will feel I have achieved what I want. And again, you know, should you start a business, only when you know exactly what you want from it and when you're willing to take the risk involved in achieving that ambition. And as you mentioned, there are more large early stage businesses fail than small, and arguably that was what happened with Team Rock. Team Rock became completely top heavy and collapsed because it went from not in the global things, it wasn't huge, but it went from not to like 150 staff, two offices, and operating all around the world in 3 years.
Wow.
But the problem there was the foundations couldn't sustain it, and it fell over spectacularly. Whereas maybe had we started with a different kind of approach, it would have built in a more stable fashion.
So there's a topic I want to touch on. I'm not quite sure how much time we have left, because I guess we can go on forever. But there's one more topic I want to touch on, and that's based on that and the partnership perspective. So obviously, we, you know, as a solopreneur, you need to think a lot about yourself and what you're trying to get out of it. What I did when I started Atom was, you know, there were five or six of us who began it, and you know, we had the honest conversation up front, right? What do we want to get out of this? What do we want? Because everyone individually can go off and earn at least 60% more than they're earning now, right? I mean, everyone is on a significantly lower wage, and I know that because I hired them. I was working with them for the last, you know, 5-6 years. So if we all wanted it, if we're all in it for the money, then we're not achieving that goal at the moment. But everyone, when we went through that conversation, every single person had a lifestyle goal, right? It was to travel more, see more of the world, and be able to work. It was to work with good people, work, don't, you know, not to be constrained by, you know, lots of rules and regulations. Of course, we've got rules and regulations, but, you know, the point is not to be constrained. And so that was that created it culture in itself, right? Because everyone understood what everyone else's values were and what they wanted out of it. And I think the one thing then to also just to kind of mention is that very, very early on, and I don't know if you did this, I don't know if you did either of these things, but what I did was say, look, we're all friends now, you know, we've worked together for many years, but we may not be friends later. So let's create the framework for if things go wrong, or if someone wants to leave, or someone, because I've seen businesses, and anyone who listens to this will probably know who I'm talking about, that, you know, I've, you know, husband and wife company became very, very successful. Wife had an affair, managed to bring her, you know, her lover on the board, and they ousted the husband, and you know, lost lots of money, and that's the thing. These are real life stories that can happen, but you know, he didn't have a game plan of what would happen if things went wrong, right?
Well, with the best will in the world, you know, my story is that Billy, who he and I, there was four of us really involved in setting it up, but two of them were doing other things, and Billy and I were unencumbered, so we drove it, you know. I'll never forget, you know, you're talking about the glamour of setting up a business and being an entrepreneur. I remember he and I had been in London for a meeting when we were entirely self-financed and the money was really low. And frankly, we were in a dog's house somewhere in a twin room that was a double bed. And I remember lying in there thinking, how have I got to this point in life where this is what I'm actually doing? And it was like, for those of you that remember the Morecambe and Wise, it was like these two middle-aged men sitting up in bed. And we were hooting ourselves up in such a laugh, but, you know, we'll remember this in the good days when it all worked out. Well, it didn't work out, and I haven't spoken to him really since it ended.
Wow.
Because, you know, that was just a price of what happened.
Yeah.
You know, we Barham and I have made a pact that we are going to try and keep these to 30 minutes. but we can go on for hours or days. I think that's probably about as much as we can squeeze in for this episode. So hope you find that illuminating, and very much as Bad I've said, as we go forward, there's going to be a real emphasis on sharing a point of view with those who listen into the podcast that might actually help you make decisions about how you move forward. So thanks very much for listening to this episode. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me. I keep getting that wrong for some reason.
I'll see you on the next episode of the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast and the Atom Ventures Podcast.
Thanks a lot, guys.